Remind the ushers, we want somebody at each door with open Bible to receive the offering for the Gideons, and make sure that you make it out to Gideons, or make it out to Trinity Baptist Church, Memo Gideons, okay? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And we're going to look at our text this morning as I talk about God's powerful word. And we're going to move quickly, and I've cut it down on purpose so we can give Brother Steve plenty of time. But in this passage here in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 9, but 12 through 13 is the main thrust of the message this morning. The writer of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, is telling us that we need to be diligent to enter into the rest that remains. Our heavenly rest is what he's talking about. We don't need to fall short of our rest like the Israelites did in the wilderness. And to stress this diligence, we're reminded about God's powerful word right here in our text. It's described as quick or living, described as powerful, sharper, and a discerner. So let's read our text this morning. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word, and let's begin in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. In other words, we're trying to work your way to salvation. You come by faith through Christ, as God did from us. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief, of course, the nation of Israel in the wilderness. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Notice that, okay? We're talking about the word of God. Now in verse 13, we're talking about the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? This passage deals with the incarnate word and also the written word. He says, therefore, is there not any creature that's... Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Father, I pray you teach us from your word, and you seal these truths to our heart, that we might be doers of the word. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you four traits of the word of God that are found in our text. In verse 12, we see that the word of God is quick or living and it's powerful. Look in verse 12a, if you will. For the word of God is quick, it's alive. King James says quick. The word also means alive, it's living. The word of God is living. This book is not a dead book for the living, but a living book for the dead. Amen? It is one that not only gives us spiritual life, but then tells us how to live. It gives life to those that are spiritually dead. And only a living book could do that, right? The word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. The life in God's word is life because God is alive today. And Jesus Christ is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And the blood has been applied, if you will, not only to the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle, but Christ is continually interceding for us, for Satan who wants to rebuke us and question our salvation and question this and question that. He is doing his intercessory work at the right hand of the Father. He did his earthly intercessory work at the cross. Now he's doing it, his heavenly intercessory work at the right hand of the Father. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Life in God's word is alive because he is alive. God is eternal, and God cannot lie, and he will never perish, and you will never perish. You'll go home to be with the Lord in heaven if you know him. So the word of God is quick and powerful. Now look at that word powerful there in verse 12. We know God's word is alive because it is seen in its power. How do you explain the transformation of the apostles, of us today? And all? How do you explain the existence of the church today? It would have been stamped out if its power didn't come from heaven. if it didn't come from an eternal God. We know that God's word is alive because it's seen in its power. And Brother Steve's going to share some testimonies, I'm sure, about the power of God's word. That means it's an effectual word. It's operative. It's always working. It worked in our salvation, bringing us to faith in Christ, and it continues to sanctify us, bringing us to what we need to be in Christ till that time that we go to heaven. It is effectual. It works. That's what it means. Now, what does this mean, that it's operative and it's effectual? Well, number one, the word will accomplish what God intends. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It's operative in that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We are born again by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is effective in those who believe, and it equips us for holiness and service. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It leads us to faith in Christ. But not only that, it sanctifies us and equips us, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for service in the kingdom. You're not going to be much in the kingdom if you don't study your Bible. Amen? It is the Bible that equips you and furnishes you for every good work, King James says, that God has for us. So the Word of God is not a dead book, but a living book because of its power to change and transform. Look at how many people over the ages have tried to stamp out this Bible. They tried to do away with it. And guess who's in the grave today? They are. The Word of God is quick. It's living. I like what an old preacher years ago said, Lightfoot. He said, the divine Word is able to cut through everything that is in man. It's powerful, right? So not only is the Word of God quick and powerful, but secondly, the Word of God is sharp and it is discerner. Let's just read that again in verse 12. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts go out, right? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Now, to me, the point of the passage is not what is a soul and what is a spirit, but it's talking about its cutting ability, okay? I could tell you, but we'll save that for another time. And of the joints and the marrow, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's sharp. The Word of God, as you saw on the picture at the beginning, is a sword. It's the Word of God, the sword. It can pierce even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. What does that mean? Nothing can be hid from God. Amen? God knows us better inside and out than we know ourselves, right? And that's a scary thought because He knows what you're thinking right now. If you're thinking ill of your pastor, He knows it. Amen? If you're thinking about not listening to this message and you're waiting for that meal today, He knows that too. He knows not only what we're thinking, He knows what we're going to say, and He knows even our feelings at this moment. It's a sharp. It's a divider. But then, secondly, it's a discerner. Look in verse 12. He says, and is a discerner. It's a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. You know, I think about how Christ hung naked on the cross. You do know He was naked on the cross. And He hung there naked for us. And now the Word of God, we hang naked before Him. Because He sees everything that goes on. It's a discerner. It's sharp. It sifts through and reveals the heart of man. One that cannot hear or read the Word of God without being cut. That's probably why a lot of people don't read their Bible, because they don't want to be cut. Verse 13, again, because God is omniscient, His Word is omniscient. He knows all, and there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and opened in His sight. You know, we can hide a lot of things from each other, but we can't hide it from God, can we? He knows it. No one can hide from the incarnate, written Word of God. Verse 13. And there's a judgment day coming, in which God will judge the world by the standard of His Son. He's not going to judge you and me by the standard of the one sitting next to you in the pew. He's not going to judge you by your father or your grandfather or your grandmother. He's going to judge you by the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all fall short, but praise God, by His grace, we're in Christ. Amen? And we have positional perfection in Him. Though we may not ever match that till we get to heaven. In fact, we won't. But God will judge the world by the standard of His Son. not on their deeds, not on how good they have been, not on what church they were a member of, not on what who they gave to and how much they gave it. God will judge by the standard of his Son. And that's revealed in the inerrant, authoritative Word of God. So how do we dare take lightly the Word of God and its warnings? Now, I want to tell you to have some homework to do, okay? It's probably the shortest message I've ever preached in my whole life. And I don't preach long. Y'all know that, right? Read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Read that through. How can we take lightly the Word of God and cheapen grace and the warnings that we have in it? Now, as I close, in preparation of Brother Steve coming, let me share an old Puritan's view of the Bible, and I want to share it with you. If you want a copy of it, let me know. I just want to share this with you. I love to read after the Puritans because I think they were pure as you can get. Puritans. He says, author unknown says, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. The Bible contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, too, heaven is opened and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. The Bible should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. The Scripture is the mind of wealth, the paradise of glory, and the river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, it will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. The Bible involves the highest responsibility, rewards to the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trivial with its sacred contents. God's word is powerful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of your word, that this is not a dead book. It's a book that is alive.